Well, good morning, Tucson. This is Jump In Tucson, and we're here today with two very, very special guests. And thanks to Visit Tucson and to Dr. Ackerley for allowing me to sit here as your host. My name is Thomas Moulton, and I am the executive director and one of the co-founders of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And today we have actually a member of the SAAA. She and I have known each other for decades.
Shh, I'm not that old.
She was a baby when I was first introduced to her.
That's true.
No babies, just married. Well, that's a whole other story.
Yes.
But if you want to get into your babies, that's okay. This is personality radio.
Yay.
And April, certainly, you know, you have a personality. We have two guests today. And it's really neat because we had talked about Fort Lowe Museum, April and I, for a long time. April Bure, who's the marketing and sales and communications and a little bit of everything. Most people call it the Tucson Presidio Museum, but we're going to get into the full name and the full background here in just a few minutes. And we also have another special guest, Kate Avalos, who's the director. Now I have to read this one, the director of interpretive programming, okay, and a little bit of more than that as well, and we'll get into that as well. So welcome and good morning to both of you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Now we're going to talk today about the Tucson Presidio Museum and the Fort Lowe Museum, which they recently have taken over. I guess I don't know if you would call it a management agreement, or what kind of agreement would that be called, April?
Yeah, I would say management. The city has contracted with us to manage the museum. They still, of course, own the buildings and that kind of thing and do all of the maintenance, but we manage the programming and the displays and that kind of thing at Fort Lowell.
So you rescued it, I think.
Sure. I think you could say that.
A little bit of history. Sat there vacant. The Arizona Historical Society readjusted what they were running, and it sat there for a little bit. Unfortunately, we lost the Downtown History Museum, where I actually officed for many years, and it was very nice very neat to be there and greet the guests. But that closed, as well as a couple of other ones. I think they're trying to get the Flagstaff one reopened. The Historical Society is really the keeper of our history, but the folks from the Tucson Presidio Museum, as you just heard from April, went to the city and say, hey, you know, this is a piece of history that we cannot keep closed. And the building was vacant, and I hope that you found it in pretty good shape when you took over. April and Kate a little bit before we get into the really important history stuff. But April, as I mentioned, we've known each other since your days at the MTCVB.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
I have to say it because people, they changed their name. Of course, it certainly represents what we're promoting, Visit Tucson. But, you know, one of the other reasons was people couldn't say MTCVB.
Right.
Okay, C and the V is kind of, you know, but that still stands for the Metropolitan Tucson Visitors.
Convention and Visitors
Thank
Bureau.
Thank you, Convention and Visitors Bureau. And they actually had their website was visittucson.org before they actually changed their name. But that's a kind of a trend around the country.
Yes.
If you're promoting Boston, yeah, you're going to have Visit Boston.
Right.
Or you're going to have Visit Tucson or Visit Phoenix.
Right.
You know, so that went a long way. Now, they never bought visittucson.com. I don't know if you knew that or
not.
Oh,
I didn't.
Somebody went out and grabbed
it. Oh, no.
You know, and Tucson.com, a little unknown story probably, is that when I got here in 1997 to run Old Tucson after their big fire, Tucson.com was in negotiations with the Arizona Star.
Mm-hmm.
It was Arizona Starnet.
Mm-hmm.
And $56,000 later, some young entrepreneur went around and bought up all these cities, and they had to buy it.
Oh, no.
So visittucson.com is available.
Uh-huh.
But I have no idea what they're trying to
get
for it. But
right.
We have visittucson.org. So that's a important website of our sponsor and the we call the official promotional tourism partner for Pima County. So it's, right. I'm glad that they're here and they're doing well. Felipe Garcia is a good friend of ours. April, so you that's when you and I got to know each other.
Yes.
You probably had a little bit of a life before that.
A little bit, yeah. Not much, though, Tom. When I met you, my life changed.
We won't talk about the Sky Ride story.
Right,
well,
exactly.
But that's another story. So, April, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I got my master's degree at the U of A and graduated in 99. And started working at Tohonochil Park.
Yes.
So that's kind of when I came into the attractions and tourism arena.
But, you know, I don't have, I think we've had this discussion. I didn't get to know you until that famous, I wasn't going to talk about it, but that famous ride up Mount Lemmon.
Yes, yeah. That was an Attractions Alliance event, right?
That's right, yeah. Yes. And yeah. Visit Tucson, you were working for the MTCVP
right.
at the time.
Right.
So you were in marketing at Tohonochil?
Yes, yeah.
Which, by the way, is doing extremely
well. I know.
Well.
I'm so happy to see how well it's doing.
They were on the show last week.
Oh, okay,
so we had a great discussion about them and what's happening with the Children's Museum.
Yeah,
kind of like
great
their second gate.
Right, yeah.
So you're at Visit Tucson, and
yes.
You were in charge of?
I was in charge of tourism sales, basically.
Okay.
So my area of expertise was the U.S. and Canada. So I traveled around the U.S. and Canada to try and get tour operators in the big buses to bring their guests to Tucson. And so that was great because I had never really traveled that much. And so it was really neat not only to meet people from all over the country and Canada, but also to see all of those locations. And so it was really an eye-opener. But it also showed me that I live in the right place. There was nowhere else I found that I wanted to live, traveling all that time. And so I thought, you know, Tucson is great. So then I had my twin boys, who are now 15, and quote-unquote retired from Visit Tucson for a couple of years. And when I got my master's at the U of A, the executive director, she wasn't the executive director of the Presidio Museum at the time, but she is now. She and I became friends. I was actually her mentor for the program, the Eller program there. And so she had had children also and had taken some time off. And then her mom was very instrumental in getting the Presidio Museum started and managed by the Presidio Trust. And so anyway, Amy Hartman-Gordon.
There you go. I was wondering if you were going to say your name.
Became the executive director, and she called me. She said, hey, what are you doing now? Are you trying to do some work, or what are you doing? And I said, yeah, I'm doing some freelance stuff here and there. So she asked if I'd be interested in doing marketing specifically to bring group tours to the Presidio Museum. And I said, sure, that would be great. So that's what I've been doing now for almost 10 years, I think it's been. It's been a great thing. And we basically ended up creating our own tours that a lot of the public comes to, both visitors and residents. And so that has really taken off on our end, in addition to all the great programming that Kate does. And so we've got lots going on at both museums.
We're going to learn a lot more about the Presidio Museum and also their tours. I think it's how many walking?
I think we have 16 now.
16 tours. If you've seen the blue turquoise, lying around downtown, we're going to talk a little bit what that blue or turquoise. It seems like you just repainted it. It seems like it's nice and bright
now.
Yeah,
they repaint it every year.
Yeah, and that's good. And we're going to hear about the interpretive side.
Yes.
From Kate. So we'll be back in just a few minutes. And we're special guests today with April and Kate from the Tucson Presidio Museum and the Fort Lowe Museum. We'll be right back. We're back, and thank you, Matt, for making all of this work for us today. This is Jump in Tucson, brought to you by Visit Tucson and the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and of course, Accurately Advertising. So we are here with April Bure and Kate Avalos from two museums, two historical museums, the Tucson Presidio Museum and the Fort Lowe Museum. So we're going to get to you, Kate, in just a moment.
But thank you.
April, the full name, because I keep shortening it.
The Presidio San Agustin del Tucson Museum.
Very good, even with an accent.
Yeah,
on Tucson.
Thanks. Hopefully it's correct.
Everybody has a tendency, but at least there's not an acronym, because that would be...
That would be like MTCVB.
Yeah, that would be long.
Yes.
So some people just call it the Presidio. Some people call it the Tucson Presidio. Some people add the museum. But it's got a very unique location. For those that haven't had a chance, and they still believe there's no parking downtown, which, by the way, is there is a lot of parking downtown. You can't miss it, can you?
Well, not if you're at El Charro.
Yes.
Or JoJo's.
And thank
or JoJo's.
You.
Right.
And thank you for mentioning our good friend, the Flores family.
Yeah, we're on Court Avenue, just down the street from El Charro, and just south, if you know north, south, east, and west, and just right across the street from JoJo's. So we're right in there, like you said, lots of little restaurants, and very close also to the Tucson Museum of Art. So there's lots to do in our little area. You could even and the Pima, historical Pima County Courthouse.
And it's a walking area.
Yes, very, very much. And there's a large parking lot across from El Charro. There's street parking.
Garages.
There are some garages, yes, in the area. So like you said, lots of places to park and get out and discover and meander. And it's a great little area of downtown that we're hoping will soon be as well-known as Congress Street.
Yeah, so if you're kind of driving by, you'll notice these tall walls.
Yes.
Made out of... well, you know, some people call it, you know, rammed earth is what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the soil.
Right.
And then whatever else you could throw in there, straw or whatever. And, of course, you've probably threw a little bit of that modern thing called cement in there.
Right.
But don't tell anybody.
No,
don't tell anybody. Now, it's gone through a series of renovations over the years, of course.
Well, it started as parking lot.
Yeah, there we go.
So it's quite renovated quite a bit, yes. And the interesting thing... too, and Kate probably has some input on this as well, but when they had to excavate parking lot, right, to see what was there prior to it being anything, and they found about, what was it, 10 pit houses
I'm
or
not
so?
Sure exactly how
there
many, but a lot of Native American pit houses.
Yes.
That really?
Are several thousand years old.
How deep did they have to go down, Kate?
Really not that deep. One of them is actually right underneath the foundation wall of the original Presidio. So the pit house that we preserved, you actually, on the side of it, is the original Presidio foundation wall as well. Mm-hmm. So just a few feet below the Presidio walls.
Nope, they didn't. Now, the graves they found are down the road a little bit, you know, when they were building downtown. And they found the Civil War. And then as you went down a few more layers, there was Native Americans. And,
right.
Mm-hmm. But when they were digging in your parking lot, of course, they knew where the Presidio used to be.
Right. Yeah. And we're actually located on the northeast corner of the original Presidio.
Yes.
So our little 2 acres is located there. And you can see at the museum, too, where the original wall actually sat. We have that marked out on the ground. And like Kate said, it goes right by or right around the pit house, because they didn't know the pit house was there either. By the time they'd gotten there, it had all filled in and it was just dirt, right? So so that's what that is. But
now I could tell where it is when you hear the big boom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us about the big boom.
Well, why don't you talk about living history, Kate?
Tell us about the big
boom. So, yeah, we fire the cannon during living history and also for a Friday at the Fort, which is a field trip for third and fourth graders. The cannon, it is a replica of the bronze cannons that the Spanish would have had. So we have a newer cannon that we just got a couple years ago. But yeah, it's a real firing cannon. It pretty much sets off all the car alarms all around us. So it's not always the most popular
thing.
Well,
they can take a joke, you know.
Yeah, on, exactly. So, but we do fire it several times throughout the year.
Well, tell them what we fire out of it, Kate.
Oh, okay. So... we don't actually fire a cannonball.
There's a couple of places that you might want to think about.
Yeah, you know, we fire it down the alleyway towards JoJo's.
Towards the street, yeah.
But since we fire it down the street towards JoJo's, I don't think they'd really appreciate a cannon.
No.
So it's actually, the garrison makes a little cannonball out of tinfoil, and they actually use oatmeal and coffee creamer to get the flames and the smoke. And, of course, the tinfoil mainly dissolves, although I've been hit in the head by a piece of tinfoil before when it ricocheted. But otherwise, it's pretty harmless.
Very, you know, ceremonial cannon shot. You know, just,
yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. It'll go over your head.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I forgot about the oatmeal.
Yes.
Because, You know, that's part of your interpretive studies, right? You know, how did they make smoke back then? You know, they weren't using oatmeal.
No, they were using gunpowder.
And you can assure that's what it was, probably.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we do need some gunpowder to fire the cannon, but much smaller amounts.
So tell us why the Presidio was here or built back in the day.
So it was built as actually part of the Spanish frontier.
Okay.
So the Spanish actually had a Presidio in Tubac, but it just wasn't the greatest location, disease being one of the reasons. So they moved up to Tucson and built one by the Santa Cruz River instead, in 1775. And it was just part of the line of fortresses that Spain had in this part of the country, mainly actually because of other European powers. So they had all of these fortresses, all the forts there to defend against other European powers coming into the area was kind of the main.
Now, what else was here in 1775?
There was an Otham village, actually, that was right at the base of A Mountain, really, right on the other side of
That's
the Santa
right.
Cruz. So that was here when they built the Spanish fort. And also, it was in between two Apache raiding grounds. So that was the other set of people that were here when the Spanish arrived.
Yeah, and there's certainly a rich history of our region back to the Hohokam days. And
Further back, actually.
Further back than that.
Hohokam are actually, they're the people up to about 1400, and then probably we believe the descendants of the Tohono O'odham.
Right.
But before that, we actually had people that were here like 2,000 years ago, which is how old our pit houses are that we have found at the Presidio.
Okay, so they weren't all on top of A Mountain.
No, they were.
That was
Arizona, in the area. Tucson has just been inhabited for thousands of years.
And they were close to the river.
Uh huh.
So that was their water source and crops.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes, correct.
And the Presidio was built by the Spaniards, as you mentioned. And how long did it actually operate as a presidio protecting?
Yeah, so it operated for the Spanish from 1775 to 1821.
Oh, okay.
In 1821, that's when Mexico won independence from Spain. Mm-hmm. So then we were part of Mexico, and it was a Mexican fort up until 1854 with the Gadsden Purchase. Then by 1856, all the troops had left. America takes over, and the Americans decided they did not want that fort anymore. So this pretty much then leads into the history of Camp Lo and Fort Lowell.
Well, that was a great transition.
Yeah.
So if it's okay with you, April, let's continue.
I think we should, yes.
On with the second part of the operation of the Tucson Presidio team is now the Fort Lowell Museum.
Yes. Kind of that was made it like the perfect thing for us to take over because it was just continuing the history we're already telling. Initially, they actually had Camp Lo after in the 1860s where Armory Park is was Camp Lo. But there was a little issue with its location, and one of the main ones being it was a little too close to all of the saloons of Tucson, and the soldiers tended to cause a ruckus in town. So when they built the permanent fort in 1873, that's when they built it at Fort Lowell, which was 7 miles away from Tucson at
from
that
the bars
time.
And the women.
Yeah.
7 miles away.
Yes.
Seven miles in the middle of nowhere.
That was definitely a horse ride away.
Yeah. Or they, at least, you know, Rito River is there, so they were able to build that along the Rito River. So, yeah, further away from saloons, but still had good grazing for all of the animals. And like I said, a little away from the alcohol.
I bet you that's not in the history book.
Actually, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yeah,
okay.
You even can find articles in territorial papers about the outrageous behavior of the soldiers.
Well, you know, it was a hard day at the fort.
That's
and then
right.
They had to wind down a little bit. And sounds kind of like what happens after a day of work at your place, right?
Exactly.
Because you only
pretty
have
much.
To just walk.
That's right.
Exactly. And downtown
right.
is still
and
full of bars.
And
so.
If you want to have some food, you got El Charo right there. And so you took it over about a year or so ago? Or
Actually, we've been there for a couple years, I want to say.
Now.
Before
okay.
we opened it, obviously.
Yeah, we were there before we were actually able to open the museum itself. We were doing what we were calling pop-ups.
Okay.
And
right.
we called it History in the Park and also a Family Fun Day, where the two events we had reenactors or activities for children just going on in the park around the museum until we could get the museum open.
Now, when you first walked in the door, artifacts still there and everything?
No.
Okay, so we'll be back in just a few minutes and we'll find out where the heck did those artifacts go. This is Jump in Tucson, special guest today, and we're talking about the Fort Lowe Museum, and we'll be back in just a few minutes to learn more about where did the artifacts. Well, we're back. This is Tom Moulton, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance Executive Director, and thanks to Visit Tucson and Dr. Ackerley and the SAAA, Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, for making this show possible. Now, we were talking about the artifacts. They did find their way back, didn't they?
Yes, they did. So when the museum was closed, the Arizona Historical Society, of course, took all the artifacts out and brought them to the museum over by the U of A. So when we got in there, the building was pretty empty. The exhibit panels were still there, but even the mannequins were naked. Everything was...
Somebody took the clothes?
Yes. Everything was pretty much gone from the museum, and it had had damage from the monsoons.
Okay.
So first, that was the first thing, is the city had to make sure to get the museum, the roof fixed. It was re-adobied, all of that stuff to make it inhabitable again. And after that, the Arizona Historical Society have been wonderful, and we really can't thank them enough for how much they've worked with us to just get everything back into the museum that we were missing. And they've just been so accommodating, and we really couldn't have done it without them.
That's great. And they obviously have a large presence throughout the state of Arizona, and they are the keepers of our history. And, you know, one of the things that's a shame, in the sense that they are one of the lowest funded state agencies. History is important.
Exactly.
You guys live and breathe history. So if there's any Southern Arizona legislature folks listening, since we're a 501c6, we can say this, okay? Give them some more money.
Yes.
Okay, because that really, it's important to keep
it is
the legends and the history alive.
Exactly.
Kind of borrow a line from Old Tucson with
exactly.
the legend. But it's important. Now, walking tours are also a big part of the history.
Yes.
You guys have adopted quite a few of those, April.
Yes. We also benefited not only in managing Fort Lowell when the Arizona Historical Society decided to slow down their operations, but several of their volunteers also were not, I don't want to say needed, but they were told, you know, we don't need as many people now because we don't have as many places that we are managing. So they came to us and said, hey, you know, we've been doing these, we've been volunteering, and we've been doing this and we've been doing that, and could we do something for you? And quite a few of them were walking tour guides. And so we said, sure, you know, what would you like to do? And so really, it's just grown infinitely, well, not infinitely, but quite a bit for us, in that...
it's grown.
It's grown a lot.
It started with one and now
it's
16, right?
We used to have one tour, which was the Turquoise Trail tour that you were mentioning, the Turquoise Line on the street in downtown Tucson.
And it's
Two and a half miles.
2.5 miles.
Right.
You can't miss it.
No, you can't. And the nice thing is that you really can't get lost because the line is a loop. So... one way or another, you're going to find yourself back. You could do it two ways.
Nobody's paying it over or anything.
No.
They really respect this line.
Right, exactly. And the city has been great in painting it for us for free every year. We walk it with them for due to construction or, you know, whatever. We need to move it here or there.
We help support the Turquoise Trail. And so Joey and I, when we were talking to you, April, this was before my right knee gave me trouble, but I said, we need to, let's do it, okay? Mm-hmm. So we didn't.
Oh, you walked it?
Oh, of course.
Awesome.
You know, back then.
Right.
But I don't know if it was pre-COVID, but anyway, well, first we tried to drive it.
Uh-huh.
You can't do that. This is a walking tour, folks.
Yeah,
okay?
It goes like right through the middle of the TCC, and you can't really drive that way. Yeah.
Yes, and luckily, about a year ago or so, we procured a new software package where we're actually able to digitally communicate the tour.
Right.
Because there's a few stop-off points while you're going around in the tour,
there's
isn't
lots
there?
Of nice places, to restaurants and shops, and yeah, it's a nice walk. And the nice thing too about it is, as I said, we do a guided tour of it,
yes.
But we also have a Turquoise Trail brochure that you can pick up at Visit Tucson's Visitor Center.
And many other places.
Yes, the Presidio Museum, JoJo's, all of those places. And it has the entire map on there with little descriptions of each stop and things you can see from the trail. So people can do it on their own as well.
Interpretive
yes.
trail, right? Is that what you would call that? Or what would you call the kind of...
I mean, it is interpretive. It's actually, this is really all April and the tour guide's not something that I work on. But it is interpretive.
And it's really interesting when you walk the whole tour because... And it seems strange to say, oh, you can go to places that aren't there anymore. But but it is real. I mean, there are places where we used to have big lakes downtown. And we used to have, you know, places where people would ride boats on the river. And,
really?
You know, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know that when you're looking. It's right next to, you know, Carrillo School.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were there now, you wouldn't even know, right? But when you go on this tour and you read about it and you look at the signs there, and it's really interesting to see how things have changed over time. So it's a really fun tour, and people, and of course you get to go through the barrio, and there's lots of different aspects to downtown.
It's different,
that are included.
You know, my first kind of interpretive tour was the Jack the Ripper tour.
I've done that one.
Yes.
Those buildings are actually all still there.
Yeah.
I mean, we're the first, you know, and the first, second, and it obviously a lot of personality comes out of the tour guide.
Right, right.
But knowledge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the little inside stories that maybe are true.
Right, right, right.
And so obviously you have tour, like you mentioned, you have a tour guide.
Yes.
He interacts with
yes.
the folks. And
right.
How many people is that limited to? Can you?
We like to limit it to about 20.
Okay.
Just because that's a lot for one person. But we have, in addition to the Turquoise Trail, I think as we mentioned, we have 16 walking tours now, and they're both historic and artistic. So we have a couple of tours of the murals of downtown, and we get outside of downtown a little bit too. We have a Evergreen Cemetery walking tour. We do a tour of the Fort Lowell neighborhood. So most of them are located in downtown Tucson, but some of them are also in other parts of downtown. We have one of the U of A. We have a tour guide that does a U of A tour. And we also just launched about a year ago a streetcar tour. So you get on the streetcar and then you get off and you walk for a little bit and you come back on the streetcar and you walk. And we've
That's
had
perfect.
So many people that have taken that and have said, oh my gosh, now I'm not afraid to ride the streetcar because it goes the whole route of the streetcar. So the people are like, oh, now I know how it works, and now I know where to get on, and now I know how to get off. And so it's been, you know, a lot of interesting, unique little tours. And like I said, it's really all been our tour guide saying, hey, I want to do this. Okay, go for it. Let's see what happens.
Well, Visit Tucson
it's been great.
Does a different kind of streetcar tour.
Yeah.
Because they have stop-off points based on what you said back in the day. It's you stop at the bars.
Oh. Well, that's fun too.
It's a different kind of streetcar tour, and there's a little history behind it because there's some of the bars have been here for a long time.
For a long time. Yeah.
And it's for the groups and the food. So a lot of culinary
right.
tours.
Yes.
Are taking place, not only walking, but also on the streetcar as well. And the streetcar is free, but clearly
right.
this is a curated tour.
Right.
So there is a charge. Now, you can do the Turquoise Trail on your own
yes.
with the brochure.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
But the real fun is when you do it with
yes.
a tour guide.
Right, exactly. And most of our tours are $30. A person, or if you become a member of the Presidio, then they're $20 a person. So if somebody's going to take, you know, four or five tours, it's worth it for them to become a member because memberships start at like $20 or $30.
Right. Oh, it's very affordable.
Yes.
And
you're a member of both Fort Lowell and the Presidio. So you get free entry to both museums if you become a member.
Yeah. I know we're supporting both.
Yes.
That's important because
yes.
again, it's
and we appreciate that.
It's
Thank
a
you.
Day. It's a 1-2 punch, so
yes.
to speak.
Right.
But if you had a walking tour, you almost had a whole day.
You could
do a whole day because walking 2 miles.
Yeah.
And curate it is not a 10-minute walk.
No. Well, those tours are about 2.5 hours.
Yes.
And They don't always get through the whole trail, just depending on how many questions people have and, you know, how much information. And just to say, too, about the Turquoise Trail, I don't want to make it sound like everything you see is stuff that's not there anymore. There are lots of buildings that are still there that, oh, this used to be, you know, a brothel, or this used to be this restaurant, and now it's an apartment or, you know, whatever. So
we still have a few historical buildings
left
or reconstructed.
Yes.
And like the Presidio.
Reused, yes.
Now, you mentioned there's something coming up because we want to make sure we have more time to talk about it. So tell us, we can kind of drift a little bit into segment four.
Okay.
So tell us what's, it's been summer.
Yes.
So your hours have been reduced.
Well, we're actually, both museums are closed right
now.
That's right. The Presidio Museum reopens August 21st.
Okay.
And the Fort Lowell Museum reopens September 5th.
Good dates to remember, and of course, there's a website that covers
all
of that.
Yes, that's all on our website, yes.
So tell us what's going on.
On August 17th, we're going to host at the Presidio Museum the celebration of all things Skookson Tucson, which is a celebration of Tucson's multicultural heritage, in addition to the founding of the original Presidio San Agustin. So it was founded on August 20th, but the event celebrates the 2,000 years of history that Kate was talking about. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have mariachis, we're going to have Yaki deer dancers.
We have mariachis in Tucson?
Yeah, a few. Like I said, we're going to have Yaki deer dancers. The Presidio will do a musket demonstration. The city, Tucson City of Gastronomy, is going to present their Food Heroes Award. And we also have a band called Kevin Pakulis and Friends that's going to be playing. So basically, it's a big party celebrating our history and our culture, and also, like I said, the founding of the original Presidio.
That's going to be right at the Presidio.
At the Presidio Museum, and it's free, and it will start at 6 p.m. and run till about 10 p.m., so hopefully we'll avoid the heat that day.
Hopefully.
With that. Yeah.
And rain, right.
And
since the city of Gastronomy is involved, I would imagine you're going to have some food there.
Well, we are going to be selling tacos and fry bread, so that'll be good. And we have lots and lots of community partners that will also be there with tables, so they'll all have interactive activities and that kind of thing. So it'll be a family-friendly event. Like you said, you'll get to see the musket demonstration. Unfortunately, we're not going to do the cannon this time, but they can come back for living history when we have that and see that. But it'll be a fun party, and we always have lots of folks that come and attend. And again, as I said, it's free, except if you purchase food. And
I want to make sure you get that on your calendar. So we have one segment left, and we'll kind of wrap it up. But this is Jump in Tucson, and we've been talking about the Fort Lowe Museum that you are it's operating, but it'll be reopened in September 5th. And then, of course, the Tucson Presidio, which you're going to help celebrate the birthday of Tucson. So be right back. Well, we're back, and it's Tom Moulton and Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And we're wrapping up a wonderful hour talking about Western heritage and the history of our region. Very important. I mean, culture and heritage, tourism. If you like that kind of stuff, you want to come to Tucson. If you don't like it, we have bars. Right, you
know, that's so. Right. We have bars.
And we have great food. But history and culture is really what we're all about. Largest inhabited community, and probably pretty much not necessarily the world, but and certainly in Arizona.
Right.
And and you talked a little bit about the folks that lived up there on top of A Mountain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to A Mountain many, many times, and you can walk up there and just kick around a little bit, and you're going to find stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of archaeological finds still.
You can't
up
pick
there.
It up, though.
No.
You can't pick it up because the artifact police will find you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. We don't leave that. Same thing at Fort Lowell. You can find a lot of artifacts still at Fort Lowell. So
really?
Yeah.
I mean, A Mountain, they're right there on the – you don't have to kick much, you know, below maybe an inch. It's there.
Presidio on Fort Lowell. You can still run across them. But, yeah, leave them for the archaeologists.
No, absolutely. Don't pick them up. You can take a picture of them, but don't pick them up. But that's pretty cool, though, because think about some of those are 4,000, 5,000 years, have been around for a long time. And I really appreciate you guys keeping it alive.
Thank you.
And rescuing. And I'm really happy to hear the Arizona Historical Society has never lost their passion for Fort Lowe.
Yes.
And the fact that Amy and her group, and of course all your board and your volunteers, you know, continue to support everything you're doing. Walking tours are very important.
Mm-hmm.
That's as well as our trails.
Yes.
In Tucson, with our wonderful weather, you know, 8-9 months out of the year, your tours are operating.
We run them all year. All year,
even during the hot part
yes,
of summer.
Yes, we start some at 6:30 in the morning, and others at 8 o'clock at night.
Okay.
It just depends on, you know. They're not all that late or that early, but some of them are.
And we had a really wonderful member from the Southern Arizona Guide, and unfortunately he has passed away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But he was a tour guide.
Yes,
started out as a tour guide and then a great writer like you are. And you know, we also have a new guy. And he's with Stories and Strolls Stories.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of walking tours downtown, too.
Yeah, and he came from the hotel world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Scott Darlage is his name. And you can look it up on our website, TucsonAttractions.com. And you can find more about the Fort Lowe Museum. You can learn more about, we probably need to refresh that information, as you know, that's what we're asking for from you, because we're doing a new brochure, a new website.
Right.
So we'll promise sometime in early fall, we'll have all of these updated. We'll make sure we have all access to all the 16 tours and how do you access it, you know, get yourself on the list and where to meet and all that kind of good stuff. And will this be the first time Fort Lowe Museum is going to be fully open since you've taken it over?
No, actually, we opened it last December.
Okay.
That's when we were able to actually get exhibits back in and ready for people to come in. This summer, we're actually revamping some of the exhibits. So when we reopen in September, there's going to be some new stuff to see in Fort Lowell.
So come back if you've already been there.
Absolutely. And if this is the first you're hearing, now we got a few minutes. We're going to give away, Matt, we are going to give away to the first caller. So we have to alert our friend behind the mirror that we're going to be doing that. So tell me, April, what you're doing, and then Matt's going to jump in and give the phone number that we want people to call.
We're going to give away two spots on one of our, I would call it, quote-unquote, standard walking tours. So those are the ones that are $30 or $20 a person. We have some that we've incorporated wine tasting and that kind of thing in. Those are not on this giveaway, but your standard walking tour.
Okay, Matt, how do they win this pair of tickets?
So they can call me at 520-790-2040. That's 520-790-2040. And I'll give their information to you, Tom. Is that how you'd like to do it? Or are they going to pick something up here at the station?
We'll have April or Kate call them personally.
Gotcha.
And make arrangements. So
I'll
thank you, Matt.
Contact information.
Yeah.
Again, 520-790-2040. Why don't you repeat the prize once again?
It's a pair of spots on a standard walking tour that are hosted by the Presidio Museum and the Fort Lowell Museum. And they can choose which one they like best.
All righty, 520-790-2040.
All right, thank you all. And it's going to be a great opportunity for you to really tour around downtown.
Yes.
Real Nuevo loves you.
Yes, we love
Fletcher
them.
Fletcher McCusker loves you.
Oh, good.
Okay, and we love you because we've had our office down there now. Boy, I bet you it's been seven years now since I retired from Pima County, and I've been officing downtown since 2001. So
right.
I don't know where else to office other than that. I mean, it's lots of stuff to do, bars and restaurants.
only
just a few moments away. Well, this is Tom Moulton of Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance, and this is Jump in Tucson. We've had a great morning with you two.
Thank you very much for coming
and telling us a little bit about the importance of Tucson's history. Dr. Ackerley will be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock with his own special group of guests that are really what we call folks aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. I'll be back on next Thursday at 9 o'clock. Watch your Facebook and your Instagram, and you'll learn about who those guests are going to be. Thank you again. Thank you, Visit Tucson, and thank you, Dr. Ackerley. And we'll see you next week. This is Jump in Tucson.